Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and I am H-Town Wheelhouse, and you can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros. And joining me again for a second night, I have another guest as Eric is out of the main chair, and I'm taking the helm. We've got Connor Newcomb from the Locked On Orioles podcast. Connor, I know your Twitter handle is on there, but since those that listen to the podcast don't see what we're doing or our template, tell them where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find me at Connor Newcomb _, and you can find the podcast at Locked On Orioles as well.
Man, this is a great thing for you to come on. Sorry, we haven't had. I don't know that I've had you on before. Maybe you and Eric have talked, but I think this is the first time you and I have interacted via podcast. And so I really appreciate you taking the time. And I know for you, it's even later than it is for us here in the Central Time Zone. So we come to Baltimore. The Astros right now are red hot on a 7-game win streak. Everything seems to be working. Now we look at the flip side in Baltimore. We know the story in Baltimore right now. Cedric Mullins, the offense isn't a bad offense. It's just the pitching that you guys have been lacking. I believe you'll have a lot of issues where your starters aren't going more than 4 innings recently. What's it been like in Baltimore? Is Cedric Mullins all the buzz in the land of Maryland?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you mentioned the offense. It had been going okay, obviously, until tonight. But, yeah, Mullins has been fantastic. And, you know, the latest All-Star ballots came out today with him in 9th among AL outfielders. And, I mean, he's leading all center fielders in baseball in pretty much every offensive stat. And so, you know, a lot of the fan voting has to do with the fact that the Orioles are probably the worst team in baseball. But, you know, I'm hoping he'll be an All-Star starter. And if not, you know, they're definitely going to put him on the team. But he's been fantastic. I mean, the only time he slumped at all this year was, you know, maybe late May. He went into a little bit of a funk, but it really wasn't even a slump. It was just, you know, he wasn't hitting 300. And then right back to it, you know, he's up around 330 right now. You know, he's hitting home runs too, which is, I think, the key for Cedric Mullins. You look at the guy, you know, he's 5'10", you know, kind of a speedy outfielder, not very big at all. And, you know, he's got 13, 14 home runs. I think that's the big out of the leadoff spot too, and all the at-bats he's getting. I mean, he's been fantastic to watch. He's always been an incredible defensive center fielder as well, can always swipe a bag. But this is a whole new player. This is a guy who was in AA in 2019 and now is just killing it and should be, you know, in center field at Coors Field next month.
You know, I get flashes of Michael Bourne, who we had several years ago with the Astros out of Houston in Eisenhower High School. And, you know, well, Michael Bourne wasn't the home run threat. He was a very decent offensive player. He was a great center fielder. He could run. He was actually my son's favorite player. He was the first player that my son growing up latched onto. Because, you know, my son was born in 08, so he's post Biggio Bagwell era. All he knows them as old retired Hall of Famers now. But this episode I've got to mention is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join the walking baseball encyclopedia, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's local experts like Connor Newcomb in the Baltimore area, myself and Eric Heisman in H-Town. That's right, insightful analysis on the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast. And, you know, in a season like you guys are having, it's good to have someone or something to go to the park to cheer for. And that's something that coming into tonight, and we can talk about this so far without saying certain buzzwords, no pun intended on the word buzz, but I digress. That, you know, coming in, I was like, I hope Cedric Mullins doesn't hit a home run off of us. You know, I hope that some of these hitters don't get hot, because you have what I call the first game of this series would be your traditional trap game, where you come off a hot series, you sweep a division leading Chicago White Sox to come into Baltimore where you're expected to win. And everyone's like, we're going to obliterate them. And then they just flip the table. And so far that hasn't seemed to be the case through the first eight innings.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been the case. Obviously with the Orioles bats, not quite waking up so far. And we'll see if they finish this game. The tarp's off, but the field looks bad. But you know, the other thing for the Orioles is, you know, just, you know, what they can trot out there pitching wise right now. Like, you know, everyone knows Cedric Mullins at this point. And I think the other Oriole that everyone is paying attention to besides Trey Mancini for obvious reasons has been John Means this year. You know, he threw a no-hitter. Yep. He was in the Cy Young, you know, conversation. He's been out for weeks now with a shoulder injury, and he's not expected back probably until after the All-Star break. So, you know, you don't even have, you know, when you're an opposing team, you're thinking, all right, if we avoid Means in a three-game series, we got a good chance to sweep the Orioles. And now he's not there. And to be honest, Bruce Zimmerman had quietly been the Orioles' second best starter. He was just placed on the injured list on Friday. So the starting pitching is just not even that it's disappointing. They just don't have the options right now. And so Keegan Aiken pitches tonight, who is a rookie who made a few starts in 2020 and has come back up in 21. And, you know, he's a guy who kind of doesn't have a very, you know, kind of has a high floor, I would say. You know, I think he can be a solid major league pitcher, maybe out of the bullpen, but his ceiling is not super high. So, you know, when you see nights like tonight where, you know, he pitches four innings, he gives up five runs, you know, you hope for better from him, but also you know what his stuff is, and, you know, he does not have dominant stuff. And that's kind of the guys the Orioles are forced to run out there right now.
Well, you know, Aiken, I mean, well, he had like five strikeouts. You know, he had some in, and that's just what makes baseball unique, is you can have a pitcher that from like at bat to at bat can have a somewhat dominant showing with some of the batters. Like, I mean, he had Carlos Correa befuddled his first two at bats. I think some of that was a little help from you know, Hernandez. You know, I mean, Angel Fernandez, his odd strike zone. You know, we won't get into complaining about umpires on this show because we all know we have our say about certain umps, but I know for a fact that I would not want to be in any of their shoes. One of our guys is asking, this is a regular on the show. He says, should Belak take over for Javier, or should Javier stay in? And, you know, right now, I mean, Belak was getting warmed up, and you don't like to warm up pitchers and then sit them down and then make them go cold again. There's something challenging about that physically. You know, Javier came in. I don't know if you know this, Connor, but he has the highest percentage of first pitch balls in all of major leagues. Like he has the lowest percentage of first pitch strikes in the major leagues, but he has been a blessing, whether he has started or now gone to the bullpen and become this converted piggyback starter and just done a phenomenal job. And it seems like he's kind of had his way with Baltimore. Now I have a question, just something aesthetically I was looking at. You know, I love Camden Yards. It's one of the baseball parks that I know I have to get to before I leave this earth and go into the sky. But Camden Yards, I noticed the sparse crowd. Is a sparse crowd because of attendance restrictions or the last place of the Orioles? You know, I mean, what is the sparse attendance? What is the capacity that Baltimore is allowing in their ballpark right now?
Yes, so the Orioles are back to almost full capacity, I think, is what's happening. Okay. They have certain sections they haven't opened yet. But I think it's kind of sections they know won't really fill up anyways. But mostly it's pretty much open. And basically you're looking at, you know, Monday night, June, Orioles have 23 wins, rain in the forecast. Although people feel strongly about the Astros, they don't, you know, carry the same weight that a game against the Red Sox or the Yankees or, you know, the Nationals carries. And also you're not going to get the traveling fan base from the Astros, obviously, in Baltimore than you did, you know, when the Mets were here a couple weeks ago, or when the Yankees are here, or teams like that are here. So that's what gets you this crowd, which is out there tonight.
Right, definitely. I just wondered, that was just more of a personal wondering. But I kind of want to talk about Jake Odorizzi, because I was heavily critical of him at the beginning of the season. I came in 0-3, wasn't looking good, was making comments like, I just don't know how to pitch at Minute Maid. I'm going to have to learn. I know I'm a fly ball pitcher. And it just seemed like the confidence waned. And of course, I don't know that I really studied like how much went into his offseason, what went into him post injury, but it just appeared to me that we possibly weren't getting all-star Odorizzi. We were getting a different version of that. And no, Digital Money just asks, is the game over? No, it is not. Is it a rain delay? But we are not going to wait till 1 a.m. to do a podcast on a rain delay game. So get this, Jake Odorizzi has not allowed an earned run against the Orioles in each of his last four starts, including tonight, allowing just one unearned run in that span. He's tossed 22 innings with that streak. So I guess with tonight, he left in the, what inning did he leave in?
Yeah, he pitched five tonight.
Okay, pitched five. Okay, so 22 and five. Sorry, I'm not a math teacher. 27 innings. He's only allowed 12 hits, and tonight he did not add to that. That's all I'll say. With 25 strikeouts, he added 9 to that total. So now he's got 34. Good Lord, I'm challenging myself with math. But he's just the second traditional starting pitcher in Major League history to make four straight starts against the Orioles without allowing an earned run, joining none other than Reb Russell, left-handed pitcher. Don't know who that is. Sorry, baseball nerds, who did this in four straight complete games against the O's from 1915 to 1916. That's pretty cool. Odorizzi has silenced my criticism of him. I was critical, and I stand corrected, and I'm more of a what have you done for me lately type of person, and he's doing it. You know, you talk about the pitching woes in Baltimore. I guess about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were all on this podcast. We were at Astros Twitter, where it's like, oh my gosh, like this team's not going to make the playoffs. Like there's no way our bullpen's going to survive a 7-game series. And so we were really worried about that. Another person that kind of owns the Orioles. Now, okay, let me ask you this. Whenever a player comes into your ballpark that seems to have great success, like Yordan Alvarez, do you like watching him hit home runs because it seems like an inevitable thing just because he's so good at what he does? I know for us, Albert Pujols killed us. He was an Astros killer. He killed us in the playoffs. And, I mean, there's a much longer, deeper history. But what's it like for an Orioles fan to watch Yordan Alvarez come in? Because now he has 4 home runs in 4 games at Camden Yards.
Yeah, I know a lot of that happened in that, what was it, 22-1 game, 23-1 game that was played here in 2019. And I think he hit one of those off a position player. So I will say that. However,
okay,
he is a great hitter, obviously. And, you know, I think Orioles fans know that Alvarez has had success against them. But the big thing for O's fans is they don't have a lot of room for thinking about other guys who crush them, because this is kind of an aside, but Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays has these absurd career numbers against the Orioles that he has taken up all the space in Orioles fans' heads for Oriole killer players right now, that I think half the people wouldn't even realize what Alvarez is doing to the team. But he's wow. he's a fun guy to watch hit. And, you know, especially obviously with the park he can hit it in Houston, in right field. And then, you know, he's obviously has the ability to hit the ball, you know, onto the flag court in Camden Yards, but that's what makes the home run from tonight so impressive. I mean, lefty-lefty, Keegan Aiken, you know, has him 1-2 and thinks he can beat him up high with a fastball and, you know, thinks worst-case scenario, he'll foul this pitch off. Instead, he takes it the other way down the line. And, you know, what do you – I talked about Aiken struggling tonight, but, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, that was a pretty solid pitch. You know, it's not like he left a fastball down the heart of the plate. And, you know, Alvarez is just that good of a hitter.
No, yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you have a wealth of power or you have a wealth of issues on the mound, you probably need to call someone like Wealthfront. They have decades of data that show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Oakland A's could have used that tonight as they got beat by the Rangers. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. So listen to this, Connor. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No rain delays, no tarps. I mean, they're there. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences that you control. Imagine if we could have that kind of control over our teams, how much better we would be. Wealthfront can help you lower the taxes that you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. So check this out. Best of all, Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and they're going to let you manage you. They're going to manage your first $5,000 that you send to them. They're going to manage it for life for free. And you only need $500 to start. So go to wealthfront.com right now /LockedOnMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/LockedOnMLB and start growing your savings today. And also, so here's the thing, Connor, there are a lot of things going on with the All-Star voting with Cedric Mullins. And if people want to bet on Cedric Mullins maybe winning Rookie of the Year, maybe they should go to Bet Online. It's the fast and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs, MLB, NBA, NHL, and/or UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch of the rain-delayed game or the next pitch in game two of the series, go to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the run for the playoffs. Head to the website and use your mobile device. Sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. So the game has resumed as we speak, and I've got the game day feed pulled up, and it's 3-1, 1 out, and it looks like Castro ended up striking out, and Jose Altuve is at the plate. So as we speak, the game is going to resume. So they were dead set on finishing this game. When I was looking at the radar, it looked like the storm's moving pretty quickly, but with these things, the way things were ponding, it looked like I'm surprised they actually didn't call it. And so it looks like someone here, we're going to hold on 1 second. I had to put someone on timeout here in the comment section. That's awesome. So Connor, going forward, what are some things that you think the Orioles need to build on, or what do they have to look forward to this season? We've already talked about the limited resources pitching wise. Is there anybody else that can come up and help you guys out that are in your minor league system, can kind of provide another spark like Cedric Mullins has, or are you playing with the hand that you're dealt?
Yeah. So the Orioles' top three prospects are all in AA right now. You have Adley Rutschman, who is about to be the number one prospect in baseball because Wander Franco just got called up. But you know, they have him there. Then they have their two top pitching prospects, Grayson Rodriguez, who's the number one pitching prospect in baseball, and then DL Hall. All of them could be ready for the big leagues this year. I don't think the Orioles are going to call them up until 2022. So right now for the Orioles, there's a couple more guys in AAA who either have made, you know, very short appearances in the big leagues or haven't made their big league debut yet, who are on the Orioles top 30 prospect lists. Guys like Mike Bauman, Zach Lowther, Alex Wells, who are all starting pitchers. We could see all of them at some point this year. There are some hitters, Jamai Jones, who is a second baseman, who is going to probably be the next Oriole to make his major league debut. So there's those guys to watch out for, but none of the top prospects are still coming this year. So it could continue to kind of get uglier. Really what we're looking forward to right now is John Means returning off the injured list. Like that's the thing to look forward to.
Yeah, that, you know, and that's what you have to do in seasons like this. You have to find the bright spots. The Astros have had a lot of seasons like that. The Orioles, a little bit of history with myself. I saw the first game that Cal Ripken Jr. played at the ballpark in Arlington when it first opened. And when the ballpark in Arlington opened, I was in college and then I was in seminary. And so I got to see a lot of first when that park first opened. I got to see Derek Jeter's first game at, in Arlington. I got to see the first time I saw Randy Johnson pitch was actually in Arlington. And so that was a really cool thing. And so you've got to go for these, you know, positives. The Astros have been scoring runs in bunches, but something I wanted to point out for the Astro fans listening is something cool about Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel, out of his last 16 times being at the plate with the runner on third, he's driven in the runner 15 of those 16 times. He now has 9 sacrifice flies, and Yuli Gurriel is the ultimate unselfish hitter at the plate. He does what he needs to do, and he's got this uncanny ability to keep his hands in and drive the ball up the middle to what they call the deep part of the field between right field, right center and left center, and hit that ball far enough so the guy at third can score. That plays well right now. I think something like that will play well in the playoffs. And I mentioned earlier that Oakland lost to Texas. 6 of our last 8 games, I believe, are against the Oakland A's or something like that to end the season. So it's going to be a fun in-division rival season series. This Astros lineup boasts guys like Altuve, Correa, Yordan, Bregman, who's on the IL, Tucker. Of these players, now I'm going to ask you an odd question because not many people are rooting for our guys. But if I said you have to root for one Astros player today, and they're not playing the Orioles, they're playing someone else, who would you pick to root for and why?
I'm going to give you 2 answers. I'm going to give you a very selfish answer, which is Carlos Correa anchors my fantasy team. And if the Orioles were to really go for it, he would be the perfect first big piece to pay for before they got good with his upcoming free agency. So that would be something to do. I don't think the Orioles will do it. Obviously, Mike Elias has the connection to him being in Houston. I don't think they would do it. But, you know, in non as selfish ways, you know, I've always liked Michael Brantley. And I think he's a lot of people's answers here. He just, you know, I feel like has been underrated his whole career. I mean, you think about the issues that Cleveland has had finding outfielders since he left. And you just, I know he had the injury issues, but you just can't believe that they let him walk and how good he has been with Houston. I mean, he, you know, he's not the guy hitting the big home runs. He's not the guy hitting 35, 40 a year. Like, he leaves that to Yordan and to Correa and those guys. But, you know, if you need a hit in this Astros lineup, you know, just a single up the middle, a single the other way, somebody put one in the gap, like, I might trust Brantley more than anybody else. And then I just, you know, like his approach to the plate. And, you know, he seems like a guy to root for, because I feel like, you know, Cleveland almost kind of cast him away and felt like his career was over. And it obviously was not at all.
Yeah. You know, Brantley has, I mean, everybody wants Brantley to stay. I mean, we want to keep giving him these 2-year contracts. The same thing with Yuli. I think that Yuli has become a fan favorite for us. And a lot of people are saying when he gets to the point of retirement, they should sign him as a consultant to the Cuban league, because he's got the pipeline to the Cuban players. You know, his dad is, I don't know if you know this, his dad is like Michael Jordan in Cuba when it comes to baseball. The Gurriels are basically royalty. And I believe the Astros and the White Sox have this cornered Cuban baseball talent market in their back pocket, which is, I think, a lot of the young players like Abreu and those guys with the Yoan Moncada, who, gosh, he needs to work on his defense. I don't know if you saw him against us this last weekend. He played a terrible defensive third base for a guy that had so much hope coming in when he first came up with the Red Sox and then got traded to the White Sox. I believe in that Chris Sale trade, is it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Moncada just hasn't paid the dividends I think they've wanted him to pay, but he still has that high upside. We've got one more sponsor, I believe, to mention tonight. Actually, just one more sponsor tonight to mention. That's rockauto.com. And Connor, if you're having troubles with your vehicle and you need, let's just say you have a tail lamp out, you need to go to rockauto.com, because when you want to fix your car, you want to save money. They have hundreds and increasing numbers of makes and models. It's impossible to put all these parts in one chain store. So why not go to rockauto.com? They've been around for 20 years. They are a family-owned business. Why choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes 100% more? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 in your store. RockAuto, it's $216. I had a friend of mine literally send me, he asked me for a discount code for RockAuto. I was like, well, there's not a discount code. You can tell them that we sent you, but the discount will say enough. And he said, oh, you're right. And he sent me the image of the part that he wanted from a dealership. It was like $500. And at rockauto.com, it was literally $117. And so I've seen it firsthand. I know Jeff Snide from Locked On Dodgers used them recently and got brake pads. And I even looked at brake pads doing my own brakes on my Nissan Titan. And oh my gosh, is it so cheap? So everybody should go to rockauto.com. They have reliable low prices for every customer. They don't treat you differently because you're not a professional mechanic. So go explore the easy to use website. And when you get to the How Did You Hear About Us box, write Locked On in there and let them know that we sent you amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's see what this game is doing now. It is 9-0 now. And it looks like so Jose Altuve had walked. Chaz McCormick was called out on strikes. Michael Brantley doubled on a sharp fly ball to left field. Austin Hayes, deflected by center fielder Cedric Mullins, Miles Straw, and Robel Garcia scored. So now the Astros are taking a more commanding lead, 9-0. Taylor Jones just walked, came in the game. Now Garrett Stubbs. It's the Sugarland Skeeters versus the Baltimore Orioles. Our young guys, you know, Taylor Jones was tearing the cover off the ball in Sugarland. And I don't, this is for those of y'all listening in Baltimore. We had this welcome edition. We hated losing Round Rock. We actually interviewed Reed Ryan on this show a while back, the owner and CEO of Ryan Sanders Enterprises, and they own the Round Rock Express. He hated not being a part, but we in Houston are so glad to have Sugarland because it's literally 15, 20 minutes from my house. It's about 10 minutes from my in-laws. So if my son doesn't want to go to the game, I can drop him off with the grandparents. We can go watch AAA baseball. And it's been great for like Castro. It's been great for the players. Framber Valdez made a spot start. Lance McCullers made a rehab start. Lance McCullers showed love to all the fans. And so it's been great for our fans to get a more personal touch with our AAA club. Let me ask you, what about y'all's AAA club? Is y'all's AAA club close to Baltimore?
So it is actually the only minor league club in the system that is not in Maryland. Really? So the Norfolk Tides, which are in Norfolk, Virginia, which is, you know, a little bit of a drive. Obviously, it's in a neighboring state, and you know the other three teams are all in Maryland. But you know, it's interesting because of the issues the Orioles have had in their system in recent years, and because the kind of the pitching they've had for the last, you know, decade plus, people talk about the Norfolk Shuttle, which is just relievers coming back and forth. And Norfolk is, you know, obviously the wins and losses don't matter as much in the minor leagues, but the Norfolk Tides have been terrible for a while. And they're the only Orioles minor league team with a losing record right now because of the same thing. The Orioles are just kind of shuffling guys back and forth. But you did mention, you know, kind of the Sugarland Skeeters are in the game. And I did kind of want to ask, like, you know, obviously it's a 9-0 game. You're going to put these guys in for obvious reasons. You know, the field is a mess. You want to get your starters off the field. But with what is currently happening, we'll just say to the Orioles offense, I just wanted to get your thoughts kind of, you know, you're somewhat putting in your second line of defense as well. And I just was wondering what your thoughts on that with still six outs to get here.
Yeah. You know, Dusty Baker's going to Dusty Baker. You know, at the end of the day, I don't know, as a manager, do you consult pitchers? Hey, do you mind if I start putting these guys in? Or do you just say, hey, I'm the manager, I do it? I think at the end of the day, the way that they feel like maybe their pitchers are delivering it, that maybe they feel like they have enough reliability in their defense. Taylor Jones goes in at first. He's definitely not Yuli Gurriel. Stubbs out in left field, I don't mind. I love Alvarez coming out of the game right now. He does not need to be out there, especially coming off double knee surgery. Robel Garcia has actually come in and he's done a good job, I think, at second base. I don't think that's a big problem. obviously they still have Correa and they still have Toro, and you can't pull Toro because we don't have Elimnes Diaz. And earlier in the game, I called it a hybrid Bregman Chimenetti play where he snagged a ball that I thought was going past him, and he turned around and he unloaded an absolute laser. And Garrett Stubbs gets up and he hits a double on a ground ball to right field. DJ Stewart, Michael Brantley, and Taylor Jones. Michael Brantley scored, and Taylor Jones at third is now 10-0. So the wheels are, as they say, falling off in Baltimore right now. You know, it's like, dang, maybe we should have waited until after. But, man, there's no telling how long this game's going to go. They're sitting on two outs, Connor. And
yeah,
this seems to be how things have gone for the Orioles all season long. Well, maybe not all season. Y'all started out really hot. Am I not correct?
Yeah, I mean, they swept the Red Sox to start the year. And actually, you know, when, not that they were playing great baseball, but when John Means threw the no-hitter in Seattle in early May, that got the Orioles to 15-16, which obviously is not an amazing record. But, you know, with this roster, if you're sitting around 500, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Then legitimately, right after the no-hitter, the wheels fell off for the Orioles. They lost 18 straight road games after that, which wow. A streak they finally ended. It has not ended. They won a home game the other day, but they have not ended the road losing streak yet, which is still
active. Really?
Yeah. So the Diamondbacks just set the new MLB record with 23, and the Orioles are trying to come for that. But yeah, the other thing about what's going on right now in the eighth inning, I believe, what, Houston's got altogether three in this inning? Yeah.
Yes.
Max Soroller is the pitcher, who is a Rule 5 draft selection from the Reds. He has missed most of the season with injury, pitched twice in April, got hurt, just came back. He has not been able to get guys out, and he is looking like a candidate to be returned to the Reds from the Rule 5 draft. Wow. And this could be the outing that kind of finishes it off. Now, he's been hurt, so it's not like his 18 ERA is over, you know, 15, 20 games. It's over five games now, I think. But you are getting the true mop-up guy right now for the Orioles, and wow. I would not be surprised if you saw a position player pitching in the ninth inning of this game.
And that concludes the podcast for today. The Astros ended up winning 10-2. Brandon Belak would give up a two-run home run, and Brooks Raley would come in and finish the game off as the Astros downed the Orioles. I want to thank Connor Newcomb for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at @ConnorNewcomb_, and he's the Locked On Orioles host. Y'all, thank y'all for listening. This episode was brought to you by Locked On Now. The 76ers definitely have some questions to answer, so go to get all your sports action and everything you need, the latest news, in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Now podcast. I'm H.M. Wheelhouse for Locked On Astros. We'll be back tomorrow. Y'all have a good one, and go Astros.